Okay, we're going to begin here by the two dots on the top of Mem Amud Aleph. Rami Le Rova the Rav Nachman. So, Rova questioned Rav Nachman based on the same Mishnah from Peah. Tanan. The Mishnah in Peah says, Elu Dvrim, Shadam Oseutan, Vochel Perutem Balamaze, Vekeren Kayemet Lo Deodam Abba. These are items by which a person benefits from their fruits in this world, and the principle remains for him Lo Olam Abba. Veiluhein, and the examples are, Kibud Aveim, Gmilut Chasadim, Vachalom Ben Adam Lechavero, Vetamu Torah Keneged Kulam. So these are the four mitzvot that are enumerated here. The Gemara is going to go through each one of them and show which psukim support this idea. B'kibud Aveim K'tiv, by Kibud Aveim it says, L'man Yerichun Yamecho, L'man Yitavlach. It says that you should have a long life, and that things should be good for you. So the way Rashi divides it up is, Yerichun Yamecho, long life is the Olam Abba. Itavlach is bechayecha. Gmilut chasadim k'tiv. By gmilut chesed it says, rodef tztaka v'chesed. One who chases after tztaka and chesed of doing of acts of kindness and charity. Yimtza, he will find chayim tztaka v'chavod. So again here, Rashi says, chayim means olam haba. Life means eternal life. Tztaka v'kavod is ba'olam hazeh. That will be the benefits that he gets in this world. Urvat shalom k'tiv, and about bringing peace between individuals, it says, bakei shalom v'radfehu. You should seek out shalom and chase after it. So that only tells you that it's something important or something that we would emphasize. Doesn't tell you what the reward is. That we get v'amar ribo atya redifa redifa. He does a gzer shava, an agadic gzer shava of tivacha bakei shalom virad fehu. Tivotam, by the case of gmilut chesed, it says rodef tztaka v'chesed. Just like by the rodef tztaka v'chesed, we said that was zimtza chayim tztaka v'kavod. So too, by bakei shalom virad fehu, that there is this duality of reward, that you get both reward, b'olam hazeh and the olam haba. But tamu toraktiv, by Torah Torah it says, Kihu chayecha v'orech yamecha. So that is, again, it's your life, v'orech yamecha. And again, Rashi says, chayecha is b'olam hazeh, v'orech yamim le'olam haba. And the eternal life, or the long life, is le'olam haba. So each one of these items, we have a description in the psukim that indicates that there is reward both in this world and the world to come. Question, finally, this is what the question is, Shluch HaKain, Namiktiv. Shluch HaKain, as we saw in yesterday's daf, it also has the same language that is used, similar to Kibud Aveim, which is, L'mani Tavlach, V'arachta Yamim. So that which is good for you, and a long life. Once again, you could say the same thing here, Litnei Me'amiha. That should be included in the list, because it has both the eternal life, which is the Olam Haba, and it has the L'mani Tavlach, which means things will be good for you, in this world. So why don't you include this in the list of items that are here? Gemara says, Tana Bashir. It's not an exhaustive list. The Tana left out items. He gave you some examples, but not an exhaustive list. Gemara says, Tani Tana Elu Dvarim. The Tana specifies, these are the items, which indicates that he's making an exclusive list. These are the items. V'atamar Tana Bashir, and then you're telling us it's not an exhaustive list. So you can say these are examples, but to say these are the ones that have this character trait, and then to leave out items from the list, doesn't seem to make so much sense. So I'm a Rava, Rav Ide Sabrali. So Rav Ide explained it to me. Imru tzaddik ki tov. They will say that the tzaddik, when he is good, ki pri malalehem yochelu. Fruits that they produce, they will consume. V'chi yesh tzaddik tov, v'yesh tzaddik she'enu tov. Is there such a concept as a tzaddik who's good, and a tzaddik who's bad? Isn't by definition the fact that he's a tzaddik make him good? So what does this mean that he's a tzaddik tov? Ella, tov l'shem ayim ulubriyot zehu tzaddik tov. Tzaddik tov is someone who's not only a righteous individual in ben adam l'makom, but someone who's also a righteous individual in ben adam l'chavero. What he does is beneficial to himself and beneficial to others, and therefore he's known as a tzaddik tov. Tov l'shem ayim. If it's an individual who is religiously righteous, he is righteous in ben adam le makom, but rather briot, not necessarily beneficial to other people. Zehu tzaddik sheinu tov. That's a tzaddik that is not good. So here the good and the not good are modifying not the individual's righteousness vis-a-vis Shemayim, because that's already in tzaddik. Tzaddik says that this individual is righteous, klapei Shemayo. The question of tov and kitov, tov and einu tov, is defining his interaction or his standing amongst the briot, amongst ben adam, the chaveiro. And therefore, the difference between shiluach hakein and the other mitzvot that we have over here is the fact that the mitzvot that are enumerated in the Mishnah, kibud av aim, gemilut chesed, vayavad shalom ben adam lechaveiro, are all mitzvot that are both ben adam lemakom and ben adam lechaveiro. They're beneficial on both sides. And so because of that, they're enumerated in the list. On the other hand, shiluach hakein is tov lashamayim. That's something between you and God, but not necessarily tov labriot. Now it is, quote unquote, good for the briot, meaning for the birds that are involved in this, but that's not tov labriot that we're speaking about here. Tov labriot that we're speaking about here means that it's a ben adam lechavero, which is not true by shiluach hakein. The one that you have to question is Talmud Torah. Why does Torah have the aspect of both tov lashamayim and tov labriot? So you have to either argue that it's tov lashamayim, tov labriot, because one who learns is therefore able to teach, and so that's the tov lashamayim, tov labriot. Or we say that one who learns Torah, the learning of Torah is not simply an intellectual pursuit, but the Torah should imbue in the individual a direction in life, a blueprint for how to act, and hopefully it changes the individual, the tova. And so therefore there's tov lashamayim and tov lebriot, because the result of the learning is a better person, hopefully. That's the idea of our learning, that it's not an academic intellectual pursuit, but our learning should permeate our essence and change the individuals who we are. And therefore that would also be tov lashamayim, tov lebriot. So those are the ways to explain the difference of what is included in the Mishnah and what is excluded from the Mishnah. Kayotze b'davar ta'omer. So not only is this true by a tzaddik, but this is also true by a rasha. Oy the rasha ra. Woe to the evil rasha. Ki gmul yadav yaselo. The product of his actions, he will get. So the mida keneged mida, the bad that he does will be brought upon him. What does it mean that this is an evil individual who's bad? And an evil person who's not bad? Someone who is both not caring about ben adam lemakom as well as ben adam lechaveiro, that's a rasha ra. Person who is problematic ben adam lemakom but not ben adam lechaveiro, that's a rasha, it's not bad. So again, rasha is the definition of the individual vis-a-vis Shemaya. That's what it is. Standing is vis-a-vis God, ben adam lemakom. The ra and the enu ra is his relationship with other individuals. And so then Rashi brings examples of these different types of aveirot. So ra la shemayim, ra la briot is someone like a gazlan, a rotzeach, a ganav. These are people who are stealing, murdering, marauders, people who affect not only doing the wrong thing, but also affect other people in doing the wrong thing. On the other hand, rather shemayim enu rather briot, Rashi brings in examples, migalei arayot, which is not so simple, mevazeh mo'adim and ochel chelev. Someone who desecrates or denigrates the holidays, someone who eats fats that are restricted. So over there, that's ben adam lemakom. That's not ben adam lechaver. It doesn't affect the individual. These are religious issues. But religious issues, they don't have an impact on ben adam lechaviro. Kidui arayot, it's not so simple. Obviously, when there is adultery involved, there are other parties that are hurt by this. Even if it's a case where it's arayot in terms of kirvat mishpacha, there's still other individuals could be affected if there's a child born from that arayot. But Rashi brings it as an example. There are instances, obviously, where that could be rather shemayim and not rather briyot. The first Mishnah in Peah brings Il Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur, which is the Mishnah that we quote in the morning. Then after that, we quote a Braita that is more extensive than the Mishnah in Peah. The Gemara here is quoting the Mishnah in Peah. we quote a braita, and that's what we discussed, if you remember back in the Gemara, about Aloyolam Yishalesh Adam Shnotav, that a person should break his life into thirds, and he should learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So we mentioned that when we make the Birkat HaTorah, that we say Mikra, Mishnah, and we do some Talmud. The Talmud we use either through a braita or through Torat Kohanim, which is that we say Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerech, we say the psukim of Birkat Kohanim, we say the Mishnah of Elu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur, and then we bring the braita of Elu Dvarim Adam Ochel Peradilam Mazeh, Ve'kirin Kayim El Olam Haba, which is not the Mishnah that we're quoting here, which is the second half of that Mishnah in Peah, rather a more extensive braita that brings other items that are included in that list, versus the other view, which is the Mikra is the Parshat HaTamid, that the Mishnah is Ezehu Mekoman, and the braita that we learn is Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosh Shrei Midot HaTorah. So those two ways to come about having those three items every morning after we say Birkat HaTorah. Right, the Zchut, Yesh La Keren, V'yesh La Perot. There are righteous deeds, there are mitzvot, by which there is Keren, there is principle, V'yesh La Perot, and there's also derivative effects of the item. Shneamar, Imru Tzadik Kitov. Stated Tzadik Kitov, and the continuation of the Pasuk, which is what we quoted before, is Ki Pri Ma'alehem Yochelu. Because they will be the beneficiaries of the fruits of their actions, the fruits of their labor. So you see that there is fruit to these items as well, which means that there's derivatives to the action. Avera yesh la keren ve'in la perot. In general, an avera, sin, has keren, and it's problematic, but it doesn't have derivative impact. So that you don't get punished for more than the bad deed that you did. That's what Rashi says over here, that ein nifrei mimenu yoter mikdei risho. You can't get punished for more than the bad you did, shenemar. Oy l'rasha, ra'a, again the pasuk we just quoted before, kigmul yadav yaseh lo. That which he did will be wrought upon him, or repaid for that. So that's exactly what he did. Gmul, the end game, his destiny, is to be paid back for the bad that he did. But that is an equal measure. There's no other derivatives of that. Ve'ela ma'ane mikayim, then what am I going to do with the pasuk in Mishlei, which says, v'yochlu mipri darkam, umimo atzedehem izbo, that Hashem will feed them the fruits of their ways, and their schemes he will izbov, satisfy them with. So Hashem will repay them in full. But over here it also mentions that there is a pre. There is a derivative to their actions which they will be punished for. Avirasho se perot, yeshla perot. Well, there are sins that have derivative impact, and that derivative impact will cause you also to have derivative punishment. Sheino se perot, an avira that doesn't have derivative impact, ein la perot, then will not have derivative punishment. So Rashi here gives you an example of that. It says, avira shose perot, kegon chilul Hashem. If a person does the avira of chilul Hashem, not only does he have the impact of the action itself, but over avira, vacherim lomdim imenu lasot kein. And other people learn from him to do this. So there's a derivative impact of his action, which is, not only does he do something wrong in being Mechalel Hashem, but that Chilul Hashem has ongoing impact or derivative impact or chain reactions, which is people see him, and in seeing him, they learn to do what he did, or they copy what he does, and then that person does it, and then it affects the next person, and so there's derivative impact from his Avera, therefore there's derivative or pre-punishment to his Avera. It's not a confined or discrete Avera, but it's an Avera that has further impact. Rashi only brings Chilul Hashem as an example. You could think of other examples, things like Lashon Hara, other areas in Halacha where someone could do an Avera that is not simply contained or discrete to the action that they took, but it's something that has a longer tail to it, that it has further impact to the Avera, more than the discrete action, the discrete Avera that he does. But in general, Averot are limited, versus mitzvot, or zchut, where you have instances where, even though it itself doesn't have derivative impact, nevertheless, you get the benefit of that action, not only in being paid for the keren, but even for the pre. You get extra credit, even though technically there was no derivative from the zchut. Right now, machshava tova mitzarfa lemaseh. Person's good intent is connected to the action. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, as nidbiru yirei Hashem ish el reihu. Those that were fearful of God spoke to each other. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma. Hashem paid heed and heard. Vayketev sefer zikaron lefanav. And therefore they were inscribed or written in the book of remembrance and memories before him. Yirei Hashem udechoshvei shemo. For those that fear God and give consideration to his name. Mayu lechoshvei shemo. What does that mean, those that give consideration or import to his name? Amravasi, afilu chashav adam lasot mitzvah. So he, instead of saying chushev from the word cheshbon, take accounting of, or to giving import, or importance to, but in the sense of machshava, person had thoughts about it. They all derive from the same idea, or same shorish. Cheshbon, to take an accounting of something is because you want to give importance or designate or segregate these items in a certain way. That also is chashivut. That gives them importance. Machshava, when you think about something, when you have an idea or you give thought or consideration to something, you also are giving it chashivut. So all of these words are different words, but all derived from the same shorish because of that commonality between them. And that's what he says here. L'choshvei shemo, which we translated as being giving importance to or accounting of, here you say he has machshava, that afilo, a person thought to do a mitzvah v'nenas, and then he was foiled for whatever reason, v'lo asah, malei akatuv ki lo asah. The pasuk gives him credit as if he did it. So over here, if he has a good thought, not simply that if he does the action, he'll be credited with the good thought along with the action, but the good thought itself is rewarded. And we saw that in the Tosafot yesterday. That's only true by a Jew. That is not true by a non-Jew. So you are credited with the good intent, even if you didn't carry out the action. Machshava ra, on the other hand, when it comes to evil thoughts, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Metzar for the Maseh. Shem does not consider it or translate it into a Maseh, into an action. Elohim Kain, you actually take the action. If you take the action, then as Rashi says over here, you are mitzar for the maaseh, but nifrei mimenu af la machshava. At that point, then you are punished not only for the action, but also for the machshava ra'ah. Or the other possible way to learn it is that machshava ra'ah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't consider it like an action. That means that if you simply have the evil intent or thought and never carry it out, you will not be punished for that. Versus if you actually do it, then you'll be punished for it. Not that you'll be punished for the machshava, but you'll be punished for the maaseh. That's the difference between them. Machshava does not have consideration like a maaseh. But if you do the maaseh, then you'll be punished for the maaseh, not also for the machshava. And that would equate it to the way that we explained it by a zchut, which is that when you have positive intent and positive thoughts, you're credited with the positive thought, even though you don't take the action. The bad thoughts you do not get punished for, unless you take the action. But when you take the action, you get punished for the action, not for the evil thought. Rashi clearly says that you get punished for both. The evil intent, once you've done the action, then it's mitzar for the maaseh, means that we add it to the maaseh, not that we don't consider it at all, except for the maaseh. Shenebar, oven imraiti bili bi, the iniquity I see bili bi in my heart, lo yishma Hashem, Hashem will not hear it, or will not listen to it. So here, where the person has evil thoughts or iniquity in their heart, Hashem pays no heed to that, because it wasn't carried out, it didn't become an action. And again here, as Tosafot mentioned yesterday, the opposite is true by a goy, that for a non-Jew, it's just the opposite, where a machshava ra is considered as if he did the maaseh. Tosafot brings the example from the pasuk in Ovadia about Esav. Again, we speak about that in the Seder by the Agodo, by Yeremiah Vedavi, that we classify Lavan's actions as if he bikesh lakor et hakol, that he wanted to kill Yaakov and destroy Yaakov, even though he only had that machshava and he never actually carried it out. So now, elamani mikayim, what do I do with the pasuk Hine anochi mevi ra'a el ha'am hazeh. Again, it seems like the pasuk's not quoted properly here. Pri machshevotam. I'm going to bring evil upon this nation, the fruit of their thoughts. So there you see that they are going to be punished for their thoughts. Gemara says, machshava she'ose pri, a machshava that has or causes a derivative. Kosh Baruch Hu mitzar for the maseh. Hashem connects that or considers it if its action was taken. Machshava she'ein ba pri, a machshava that does not have a pri to it. Ain a kosh baruch mitzar for the maseh. Hashem does not include that as a maseh. Rashi over here defines what is a machshava she'ose pri. Kiyem machshavato v'asa. A machshava she'ose peirot. A thought that creates activity, that ends up in action, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzar for the maseh. But if a person simply has the thoughts, but they never come to fruition, then there is no consideration of the maseh. V'alaktiv, what about the pasuk in Yechezkel that we quoted yesterday's daf? Laman tfos et Beit Yisrael bilibam. In order to catch Bnei Yisrael in their hearts, I mean Hashem holds them accountable for their thoughts. That is by Avodah Zarah. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be limited to Avodah Zarah, but you could say it means all mitzvot, by which the thought is the key element of the Avera. When a person accepts Avodah Zarah, it doesn't simply mean that he worships the Avodah Zarah, that's the activity. But in his mind, he has to accept the Avodah Zarah as a god. And those mitzvot, I call them the early mitzvot in the Minyan mitzvot of the Rambam, the first 10 mitzvot, which all mitzvot that revolve around Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, all those machshava mitzvot, all those mitzvot, the machshava itself is the nature of the mitzvah or the nature of the avira, and therefore that machshava will be like a maseh. You will be considered even if you don't carry it out, versus other machshavot where you would not be held accountable unless you carry them out. And plain machshavot will not be punished for or held accountable for. So we have three categories. We have a category of machshava, simply machshava ra'ah, where you won't be punished for it. A category of machshava ra'ah, which ends up in a maseh, which you will be punished for. Again, Rashi says you'll be punished for both, the machshava and the maseh. Others suggest that you just punish for the maseh. And then we have a class of mitzvot averot, where machshava is everything, and therefore the machshava itself, you will be held accountable for, like Avodah Zarah, machshavat Avodah Zarah. That's what the Gemara asked yesterday, about how do you know that the guy who was going to get the Dushaluch HaKain by the tzivoy of his father didn't have a machshava Avodah Zarah. If he had a machshava Avodah Zarah, he would have been punished for that, because that's something that we hold him accountable for by machshava. That's why the Gemara asked that yesterday, how do we know that he didn't have these thoughts? And that was Rabbi Yaakov's question, is that the mitzvah itself should have protected him from those thoughts. Not that he's not held accountable for those thoughts, but he should have had those thoughts because the mitzvah should have protected him from those thoughts. For instance, this actually has impact by the Aseret HaDibrot, the last of the Dibrot, which is Lo Tachmod. Over there, there's a machloket in the Rishonim in the mitzvah of Lo Tachmod, whether that's simply a problem of thought, do not be jealous of, and if you are jealous, then you are held accountable for that machshava. Or, you're only held accountable for lo tachmod if you act upon that thought of being jealous. You go and steal the item. You go and try to buy it from the individual. You do something that acts upon this jealousy. And so most of the Rishonim say that you can't be held accountable for machshava. Torah doesn't dictate machshavot, and therefore the punishment is only true if you take action based on that machshava. There are other Rishonim who believe that machshava is sufficient over there. So that's the question that revolves around lo tachmod. Is lo tachmod a mitzvah, the way the machshava requires a maseh to be chayav for? Or is it more akin to avodah zarah, where the machshava itself is so detrimental and deleterious for the individual that you'll be punished just for the machshava itself? Damar mar, chamura avodat kochavim. Avodat kochavim has a unique standing, which is Shkola Kofer Baki Modeh B'chol HaTorah Kula. Anyone who denies Avodah Zarah is as if he has affirmed or kept the entire Torah. And obviously, the opposite is true as well. Anybody who's Modeh B'Avodah Zarah is as if he violated the whole Torah. He didn't keep the whole Torah Kula. And again, you could say all of these, the same thing by other mitzvot of that similar kin, which is Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem. These are so fundamental in our belief, in our faith, that the violation of them in thought is enough to be considered as if you violated or denied the whole Torah itself. Ula Amar to the Rav Huna. Ula gives an alternate explanation of when you're held accountable for a machshava. Is like Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna gave in Shabbat Dam Avira Avishanaba. Once a person has done an Aveira, and then he repeats it, when he does it twice, Huchralo, it's mutar. Huchralo? Sakat Atcha? How could it be that it's mutar afterwards? Ella? Nasid lo keter. Becomes like heter for him. Which again, we mentioned this numerous times. We just saw this earlier in the Masechta and Daf Chof, where we mentioned the fact that the guilt and the reticence of an individual to do an Aveira, once they've already done it once, twice, it takes down those barriers, and then they're no longer considered like an Aveira, it becomes almost like Heter to them. And that is what is spoken about here, where the Machshava already is counted like a Maseh, and that's what Rashi says over here. Afilu lo avilo, ein chazarato l'shem shemayim, el shehulu lo utzrachla. That in a case where a person already has done it numerous times, and then he has a machshava to carry it out again, the fact that he desisted from carrying it out is not because he stopped himself. It's not because he really did tshuva, as Rashi says. It's simply, he didn't need it anymore. It wasn't necessary. So that his decision is no longer a decision that revolves around, this is an aveira, I won't do it. Or, I am trying to stop myself from doing this, but rather simply a matter of convenience. Because he's already crossed the threshold by which he has any sense that this is wrong, or that the Aveira is something that will stop him from doing it. He's already done it too many times, by which there is no holding back. The holding him back is coincidence, not really his doing tshuva. And therefore Hashem will punish the individual for the machshava, even though he doesn't carry it out. That's the way Rashi explains this. You're right, if he articulates or he's really thinking tshuva, then maybe he would not be held accountable for it. Amar Rabbi Yabau Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Noach la'adam she'avor Aveira b'seiter, v'ayichaleu shem shemayim b'farhesia. It's better that a person violates a sin in private, and that he does not cause a desecration of Hashem's name in public. Shnemar, v'atem beit Yisrael, ko'amar Hashem, ish gilulav l'chu avodu, v'achar im einchem shomim elai. Each person should go do or worship their gilulim, their idols, and then if they don't listen to me, v'chem kodshi lo techalulu, od b'matnot eneichem b'gululeichem. They should not violate or desecrate my name in their gifts and their idols that they participate in. So the way that the pasuk lays it out is that there are two pieces to the Aveira. There's one piece of the Aveira, which is the Aveira itself. The second piece of the Aveira is the desecration of Hashem's name that is caused by the Aveira. So you see that there are two aspects to it. So if you're able to segregate the items, we'd prefer that you simply violate the Aveira rather than violate the Aveira b'farhesia in public. Because then there's this additional aspect to the Aveira, which is a chilul Hashem. The truth is, there's a chilul Hashem in every Aveira that one does, even when they do it b'seiter, because in some way they're denying the existence of God. So we've spoken about this in the past, that sometimes it's worse when a person does an Aveira in private. We just saw that in the Gemara earlier. Because it's as if the person says, I hope nobody sees me. He's afraid of human beings. But he's not afraid of God. He does the Aveira b'seiter as if God's not going to see him. And that's why we said before that the Ganav has a bigger punishment than the Gazlan, because the Ganav does it in secret, in private. He steals as if God's not seeing him. The Gazlan doesn't care whether people see him or whether Hashem sees him. I mean, he equates the two. He doesn't give more importance to people than he does to God. So there is an aspect here you have to be careful about, which is, because when you do it in Seder, you're trying to steal from God, meaning pretend like he doesn't know. So that's even worse than when you do it in public. But over here, it's a case, as Rashi notes over here, this is a person who is going to sin anyway, and he can't overcome his desire. So in that instance, it's better he does it in private than he does it in public. So that if he violates the Aveira, it doesn't have also those other implications or derivative effects of the Chilul Hashem. Amar Rabbi Alai HaZakein, Im ro'a adam shitzro mitgaber alav, a person sees that his desires of Yitzhara are overcoming him, yelech l'makom shem mekirin oto, he should go to a place where they don't recognize him, they don't know him, Vilbash shchorim, and then he'll wear black. Vitkaseh shchorim, and he'll cover himself in black. Vyaseh kamosh libo chafetz. Then he does what to his heart's desire. Val yechalel shem shamayim b'fresyon. Better he does that than he desecrates the name of God in public. The question that you're asking is a good question. Tosafot, Rashi over here, already seemed to address the issue. Rashi says, Yobash shchorim, shalor yatzmo b'chvodo. It's a way to make a person more humble. He's trying to take away his haughtiness, which sometimes leads to avera. So he dresses in black. He goes to a place they don't know him, so he's no longer a person of importance anymore. He's taking away all the things that give him a certain amount of grandeur or feelings of haughtiness that cause him to sin. So he's trying to take it away. Ulai yirach levavo bekach. Maybe that will cause him to soften and not do the avera. V'gamim yachta en adam noten lev. And even if he does sin, people won't pay attention because they don't know who he is. He's anonymous in that situation. V'yishen chashu b'enehem lekach yubash shkorim. That says he's not important. He doesn't stand out. He just blends in. He wears black. Therefore, people won't notice him or won't take note of what he is doing. So now, the way Rashi formulates it, and we'll see in the Tosafot in a second, sounds like that this is a preventative measure. It's a measure to try to stop you. But if you can't stop yourself, at least it's done in a way that's not a public or Chilul Hashem that's involved with this Avera. Tosafot over here says, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, Chas v'shalom shuto lo lavor Avera. There's clearly not permission to go do the Avera. That's what the Gemara sounds like. Gemara sounds like you do all this, dress up like this, and go do the Avera. As if you have permission to do the Avera. Rashi qualifies that a little bit and says, hopefully it'll stop you. But if it doesn't stop you, you're in a better position. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, no way, you can't do the Avera. Ela kach amar Rabbi Eloi yigiat rachim. The tiredness of traveling. Vachsanot. And having to stay in a hotel or in a bed and breakfast. Uvishat shchorim and wearing black. Mishabrim yetzara. They'll break the back of the yetzara. Munim adam in avera. And they stop the person from doing the avera. So here you have a machloket in general between the Rishonim, Tosafot, and other places actually says that the person can do the avera. And this is the way by which they should do the avera. Better to do it this way. Similar to what Rashi says, which is better that it's done in private than it's done in public. Better that it's not a Chilul Hashem. And so Rashi turns it out. Hopefully it'll break you, and if it doesn't, then it's in private. Tosafot seems to indicate, just be anonymous so that it's not a Chilul Hashem. You might have to do the Avera, but at least make it that it's not a Chilul Hashem when you do the Avera. And so there are those shitot within the Rishonim that this is permission to do it. Not permission in the sense it's not an Avera, but this is a better way to do the Avera than the alternative. Now there are others, like the Meiri brings it here, brings it in a Chagiga as well, that we're not speaking about a real Avera over here. We're just speaking about an activity or an action which is not so nice or not appropriate for this individual. Which is another way that we're trying to explain it here. We're talking about a Talmud Chacham. So we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, and therefore it's not a real Avera. Or even if it is an Avera, there is more import associated with him and his activities. Therefore, it's better that he goes and is anonymous in another place where the people won't know or don't know of his standing, and therefore he won't influence others. So either because he's a Talmud Chacham, the Avera takes on more significance, and that's why it's better to go away. Or because he's a Talmud Chacham, the activity that he's going to do, even though it's not an Avera, will have impact. So he's going to go hang out in a bar. Something to that effect. So if he's a big Talmud Chacham, it's inappropriate for him to go hanging out in a bar. But whatever reason he needs to, or he's going to be there, he needs to drink, whatever it is, then he should do it in a place where nobody knows him rather than in a place where people know him. So that would somewhat tame the expression of the Gemara here that he should go and sin, because it's not really a sin. It's not a sin in the sense of Avera, it's a sin in the sense of perception or the appropriateness of the activity for this individual. And so there, you don't have to worry about saying, oh, if he goes to this private place and does an Avera, he's not doing an Avera, he's just engaging in inappropriate activity that's not necessarily an Avera or not becoming of this individual. And that's how some of the Rishonim reconcile with this statement of Rabbi Eloi HaZaken. Now the Gemara says, Ini, is it really true? V'atanyo, Atzan, Koshlo Chasal Kvod Kono, Roi Lo Shalo Bali Olam. That a person who does not worry about the kvod of his master, his creator, it's as if better that he wasn't created. He shouldn't have come into the world. So that's what we were discussing before, that any avera that's done, in some senses, is a pkiah, is an affront to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you don't care what God thinks. And if you're willing to do the avera, it's as if you don't worry about the Kavod Hashem. So, Mahi, what is that case? Rabba Amar Zeh Mistakel Bekeshet. This is someone who looks at the rainbow. Yosef Amar Zeh Over Avera B'Seter. This is someone who does an avera in private. So obviously we're after the explanation of Rav Yosef, not Rabba's explanation over here. And Rav Yosef says that this is someone who does an avera in private. Like we said before, hiding from God is a tremendous affront, it's a chilul Hashem. That's the difference between these instances. If he can control his desires and he does it anyway, that's someone who's not considering God's kabod, and as if he thinks God's not there. And that's a problem. On the other hand, if he's uncontrollable desires and he just can't get a handle on them, better that he takes himself off and does it b'seter than he does it b'fasya. And that's what we discussed before, the distinction between why doing an aveira sometimes in private is better, and sometimes is even worse. That someone who does an avera in private is saying that I don't care about God, I care about what other people think. That's worse. On the other hand, when a person is just trapped by his desires, he's going to do the avera anyway. The fact that he takes caution and doesn't do it in public so it doesn't cause a chil Hashem, that would be a more positive aspect of doing the avera of b'seter. It's not hotam. We have a mishnah over there. The problem with this is there's no such mishnah in Shas. So therefore, there are rishonim who change it here to Tanya, that it is a braita. On the other hand, Tosafot quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel, who suggests that this is a derivative of a Mishnah and Avot. Mishnah says, "Ein mikifin b'chilul Hashem, chad shechig v'chad mezid." We do not put you on credit when it comes to chilul Hashem. The way that Rashi explains it is, "Amrazut she'ein osim kechen bani." They don't give him credit like in the store, as Rashi explains here. When you go to the makolet and you buy something, they write down that you owe the money. At the end of the month, you pay off all the credit that you use to buy. So you're buying on credit, and then you pay it back in the end. The same is true by Averot. Hashem gives you time. He allows you to buy on credit, meaning that you do Averot. Hashem doesn't punish you instantly. He gives you time to rectify the Averah, whether that means to do a mitzvah to offset the Averah, or whether that means to do tshuva. That's the case by any other Averah besides the case of Chilul Hashem. By Chilul Hashem, they punish you immediately, or there's no way to rectify the Chilul Hashem. Whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, that Chilul Hashem is punished immediately. There's no credit that is given. And so, he's quoting a Mishnah that doesn't exist. There's no such language in a Mishnah of Ein Makifin. So what Rabbeinu Chananel says, according to Tosavot, Mishnah Masechet Avot, V'shem Ha'ainu Hadetznan, Kol HaMachel El Shem Shemayim B'Seiter, Nifrayim Mimenu B'Galui. Maybe that is what it's referencing, the Mishnah in Avot that says, a person who is Mechel El Shem Shemayim, in private, he will be exposed in the end. It will be made public, his activity in the end. Aval, Tosfot says, Lashon Mekifin Kasheh. Lashon Mekifin over here is not the same as Nifrain. B'shem HaBraita'i Afagav Domer Tnan. Maybe it's a Braita, even though the Gemara here uses the word Mishnah, and that even though the Rabbeinu Chananel associates it with the Mishnah and Avot, as Tosfot points out, there's a great difficulty in doing that because Ein Mekifin, it's not a question of punishing him in public versus private. Ein mikifin is mean we don't give him a chance. We don't delay in his punishment. We don't give him a chance to rectify the situation. That hasn't to do with Nifraim. Nifraim is about here in the Mishnah of Avot. It's about the nature of his sin versus the nature of the punishment. But either way, the Gemara says that there is no akafa when it comes to Chilul Hashem. There's no credit. Barbaray de Ravana Amar, Lomar, Shimaita Shkula Machret. Marbury Devana says the same answer that we gave Gabe the Mishnah yesterday of Elu Advarim Shadam Achol Peratam Lamazev Akirin Kemel Amaba. How is that different than any other mitzvah? The answer is that Shkula Machret. If you are equal, if you're on equal plane, then this type of Avera will push you over the edge. So that even though you're equal on the scale, if Chilul Hashem is one of the Averot, it pushes you over to the bad side. Just like those other mitzvah push you to the good side. And this answer has the same problem as you have yesterday, which is, isn't the measure already qualitative and should take in consideration Chilul Hashem? So you have to say there's some other measure, some other issue that this type of equal measurement still is offset or hurt by the fact that Chilul Hashem is involved on the demerit side for you. All right. Tanu Banan. Lolam yirei adam atzmo kilu chetzio chayav v'chetzio zakai. A person also will always look at himself as if he's half righteous and half not righteous. asa mitzvah achat, he does one mitzvah, ashrav, she echriyatz mo, the kaf schut, lucky is he, praiseworthy be he, that he's now pushed the scales in his favor. Avar avira achat, he violates one avira, oilo she echriyatz mo, the kaf chova. Woe is to him that now he pushed himself to the negative, the demerit side. Shenemar, v'chote echad yabed tova harbe. One sinner, but over here the Gemara is defining a sinner as one sin, can cause the loss of so much goodness. Because over there, that one sin now pushes you over the edge to the demerit side, and then all that good that you did before is lost. For that one simple bad action, one avera, he loses so much. So the idea here being that not that this is reality, but that's the way one should approach reality. A person always think of every situation in that manner, and that will encourage them to act appropriately in the situation. They'll be more apt or likely to do the mitzvah than the avera, or it'll prevent them from doing the avera if they think of the world in this manner. Not thinking that I'm a good person and I always do good, and then they say, ah, what's one demerit? Rather, they have to look at themselves as always being on the edge, being there on that fine line, and therefore every mitzvah pushes them in the right direction. Every avera can cause them to lose it all. So therefore, there's a worth. Every action has importance to it or has significance to it, and that's how you should look at things. But as Rabbi Shimon Omer, the fish olam nidona charubo, that the world is judged by the majority. Piachid nidona charubo, and so is the individual judged by the majority. Asa mitzvah achat. So now he expands the significance of your action. Not only is your mitzvah impactful regards to vis-a-vis you, but it's also impactful vis-a-vis the environment that you're in, which is ashrav shechiyat atzmo ve'et kol olam lekaf zchut. Not only does your one mitzvah push you in the right direction, it also pushes the whole world in the right direction. Var avira achat, if he violates one avira, oilo shechiyat atzmo ve'et kol olam lekaf chova. Woe is to him and to the whole world that he now pushed them in the wrong direction. Shneamar, and quotes the pasuk again, v'chotei achad yabed tova harbe. Your one little aveira, abad mimenu umikol olam tova harbe. He lost for himself and for the whole world all this goodness. So he expands the perspective, but again, this is a way to view reality to bring significance to each action and not just think, I can wash this under the bridge. What's the big deal about this aveira? What he's pointing out is that every aveira has significance not only vis-a-vis your personal life, it also affects the whole world together. And you're all in the boat together, and therefore there is value in every action that you take, or every mitzvah that you do, and every avera that you desist from doing. Again, it's a perspective on life. It's not a reality at every moment that that's the way it is, but if you look at life in that way, you will make better decisions, and you will make the right decisions in those cases. Obviously, you have to then assess, this, the Rambam brings these down, halacha and hilchot tshuva. You have to assess how a person, if the whole world is judged by the majority, that means that good people are going to be swept up in the bad. So you have to say that Hashem will provide salvation or protect those individuals in the cases where the bad comes. Or the Gemara tells us that Mishnatan Rishut Mashchit, that once the Satan is let loose, then he's not discerning anymore. That's why on the night of Pesach, when Hashem let the Satan loose, or the Malach HaMavet loose, Bnei Yisrael were needed specific protection, because otherwise they would have been swept up in the killing that happens. And so that's the unfortunate side of being amongst or in a time period where people are acting this way or punishment is being wrought, that sometimes you get swept up with the bad or the evil of the world, even though you personally may not be deserving of that, because once it's open season, then there's no stopping the mashchit, and you need extraordinary protection in order to be saved or gain salvation from that. Shema Yochai Omer, Afil Tzadik Gamur, Kol Yamav, a person is righteous his whole lifetime, Umarad Bachrona, and then he rebels, quote unquote, at the end, meaning that he goes off the derech in the end, Ibeid et Arishonot, he loses all the good he did before, Shnemar, Tzidkat Tzadik, Lo Tzatzileno B'Yom Pisho, the righteousness of the righteous one will not save him on the day of his iniquity, or on the day of his reckoning, when he does the wrong thing and he leaves it all behind, then all the things he did before will not save him. The opposite for him. He was evil his whole life. He does tshuva at the last moment. They don't mention his evilness anymore. The evilness of the person who has done wrong, he will not be tripped up on the day that he returns from that evilness or iniquity that he did before. Why don't we just consider him here half good, half bad? Why is it that whatever he does at the end governs? Why don't we just say, he has a virot, he has mitzvot, this helps him out. It's a case where he regrets what he did earlier. It's not simply that in the end, he goes off the derech. Goes off the derech and he regrets living his whole life as a righteous individual. Or, the other way around, he does tshuva and regrets all the bad things that he did until now. And therefore, that's why it overturns everything he did before. It's not simply that he's changed the way that he acts or changed his behavior. The change in behavior precipitates a different perspective in this individual. And he regrets what he did before. And the Toel HaRishonot is mitcharet. He regrets it and that wipes it out. It erases everything that he did until that point in time. All right, here's the final mission on the parak. Koshi yeshno b'mikra mishnah b'derech eretz, lo b'mheira hu choteh. Person who's involved in learning Torah, mishnah, and now derech eretz over here you can translate in different ways. We know that derech eretz can sometimes mean acting appropriately midot tovot. Derech eretz can also mean parnosa, and derech eretz can also mean shimush tamidei chachamim. So it can be any one of those three, and we shouldn't bring all those different interpretations. Is it mikra mishnah and derech eretz, a person who learns Torah and has parnosa? Or is it a person who learns Torah and also acts appropriately with other individuals? Or is this a person who learns and also is mishamesh tamidei chachamim, so it's not simply an academic pursuit, but he learns how to behave properly as a ben Torah? Lo b'mheira hu choteh. None of these people will sin quickly. Shenemar v'chut amishulash lo b'mheira yinatek. The three-ply rope does not snap easily. Choshenu lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah v'lo b'derech eretz. Someone's missing all of these items. Eno mina yishuv. It's not part of civilization. It's not a civil individual. And therefore he should distance himself from others, or we should not include him in decision-making. For instance, he should not be brought in as a witness or as a judge in certain circumstances, because he does not understand the norms of society. He doesn't understand how to behave. So here are the two extremes. You have one extreme, which is he has all of these items where he's protected from sin and he's going to act appropriately. And the other side, we have none of these items where he's off the charts. He's someone that is not even considered to be of a civil nature. Obviously, then, you could have some of these and not all of these, and that would put you somewhere in between. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. Lama tzadikim nimshalim b'olam hazeh. What are tzaddikim compared to in this world? Lilan shuklo omeid b'makom tara. They're like a tree that sits in a place of purity. V'nofo notel makom tuma. But its branches hang over into the cemetery, hang over into a place that is tmeah. Niktzatz gunofo kulo omeid b'makom tara. You just slice off, cut off some of the branches, and now the tree is completely found in a place of purity. Kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi yisurim ala tzaddikim b'olam hazeh. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yisurim on the Tzaddikim in this world, Kadesh Yerushu, the Olam Haba. So they will inherit the Olam Haba, Shnemar, Vayeh Reshitcha Mitzar. Your beginning will be either narrow, or Mitzar means painful, Vachitcha Yishgeh Me'od. And in your end, you will flourish greatly. So either that because there won't be pain, or because you'll have much more Merchav. Things will widen out or be good for you. The idea being that if Hashem punishes you now, then the goodness will be saved for you, the Olam Haba. V'lama Rishayim domim l'olam hazeh. And what are Rishayim compared to in this world? Ilan shukulo omeid b'makom tuma. That's like a tree that stands in a place of impurity. V'nofen otel l'makom tara. And its branches hang over the shul, hang over the Beit Midrash into a place of tara. Niktzatz nofo kulo omeid b'makom tuma. You cut off its branches. Now it all stands in the area of impurity. Kach. Kosh Baruch Mashpilem Tovah Rishayim B'olam Hazeh. Shem gives goodness to the Rishayim in this world. Kedei L'Tordan. In order to wipe them out, Olor Risham L'Madrigat Achtona. To bring them to the lowest level, so when they come to Olam Haba, they will be punished fully. Shneamar. Yesh Derech Yashar Lifnei Ish, V'Achrita Darchei Mavet. There is a path that is straight and clear, which in the end is a path of death, or a destination that ends up in death. That is the path of the Rishayim, which thinks things smooth and straight in this world, but in the Olam Haba, they will pay the price for that. Just to note that this Gemara seems completely out of place, which is, this seems to fit the previous Mishnah. And so there are, in certain of the Mifashim, and like the Ein Yaakov, they have this Gemara placed by the previous Mishnah, not on this Mishnah, because it seems like a non sequitur over here and seems to fit with the previous Mishnah. We discussed exactly this topic in yesterday's daf. They were gathered together in the upper chamber in Beit Nitzeh Belud. Vinish Allah Sheila Zubifneem. And they were asked this question. Talmud Gadol or Mase Gadol. What is greater, learning or doing? Nene Rabbi Tarfon. That's why Rabbi Tarfon and his Zekinim are together here. Rabbi Tarfon answers. Bamar Mase Gadol. Action is better. Nene Rabbi Kiva Amar. Rabbi Kiva answers and says, right, these are, by the way, this is Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon are the ones that are found in the Gadol together also. In Mase B'nei Brak. They're also found there together. They are peers. And here, Nene Rabbi Kiva Amar, Talmud Gadol. That learning is greater. So now you have a machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Seemingly, Nenu Kulam, the remainder of the parties that were there, came to the conclusion that seemingly is a compromise between them. Vamru, Talmud Gadol, Shatumud Mevili De Maaseh. Learning is greater because learning brings to action. So it's an answer that's not an answer. Which is greater, learning or doing? The answer is learning because learning brings you to do. Well, if learning brings you to do, it means that doing is greater because you only learn in order to do. So let's divide it up. There's certain instances where it's clear that learning is greater than doing, and that's a case where the person can learn, and by learning, there's nothing given up. Someone else can carry out the action on your behalf, and therefore we benefit with both. In the activity or the mitzvah is done, and the individual continues to learn. So in that case, it's clear that you would opt to learn because you can accomplish the learning and the mitzvah together. On the other hand, when you have a clash between the learning and the maaseh, that's really where this question comes up. Is it better to learn in that case, or is it better to do in that case? So now, there we have the machloket Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva, who's the ultimate shaktan, Talmud Chacham, says that the Talmud, learning is more important. So learning should trump maaseh. The answer of the Gemara is, yes, learning trumps maaseh, in a case where it doesn't override the maaseh. But if the whole purpose of learning is for the maaseh, for the action itself, then how could it be that you forego the action in order to learn? Because then you defeat the purpose of learning. Learning is so that you can carry out the maasim. And therefore, there's a clash between them. Maasim take precedence, even though learning is more important. And so that means that, yes, in a vacuum, learning is more important than maaseh. But when you're faced with the reality of doing versus learning, you have to do versus learning because the whole purpose of learning is to do. And therefore you can't forego the maaseh. That seemingly is the answer that is being given by the Gemara over here. So Tosafot over here brings the Migmar Lididei. Tosafot says over here, it's clear that if it's your learning, then Vaday Maaseh Adif. Then it's better to do the activity. Aval, Lagmuri Achrina, Vaday Adif Tvei. So Tosafot already qualifies this statement. It says there's a difference between learning and teaching. If one is learning, then better to do the maaseh than to learn, because the whole purpose of learning is a maaseh. On the other hand, if one is teaching, then Tosafot says that trumps a maaseh, because the teaching itself is a maaseh. I mean that learning sometimes can involve both learning and a maaseh, which is that when you're learning and teaching, you're doing both learning, plus you're actively doing a mitzvah of teaching Torah. So in that case, it would trump a maaseh, and their learning would take precedence. I mean, learning in the form of teaching would take precedence. That's number one. Ve'yesh mefarshim, da'adam shelo lamad adayin, u'balim lamlech im yomot tchila yasuk b'maseh, amrim lomo lomot tchila. That here, the question is not about a conflict, as we're saying over here, between the two, but rather a person who's starting out and wants to know, I don't know anything, should I learn or should I do? The fi she'ein amar etz chasid. They say to him, go learn, because otherwise you don't know what to do. You have no knowledge. Aval adam shelamad kfar, maaseh tov yoter milimud. Person already is knowledgeable. It's better for him to do the activity than to learn. The Rambam has a similar formulation with regards to limud haTorah. The Rambam says that there are certain basic tenets of limud haTorah, and that limud haTorah takes precedence, meaning that one should do that before they get married. One should do that before going into business or any other activity. There is a base of knowledge, fundamentals of the faith, where a person should have that in hand before they go out and do anything else. And that might even take precedence over maaseh. Once a person reaches a level of learning where their learning now is a deepening of their knowledge, an expanding of their knowledge,
Over there, the Rambam says that the nature of Limud HaTorah switches. And there, first of all, maybe you should get married first and then do that type of Limud HaTorah. Maybe you should also get a Parnassah. All those conflicts then flip at that point. And then Tosafot might be saying the same thing here, that maybe then, at that point, the question between Limud and Maaseh would take precedence already. Because this Limud is an enhancing of the basic tenets or fundamentals. And therefore, Maaseh would take precedence in that case. The Rambam also says the nature of your learning changes. The original learning is the type of learning that involves Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. But once you get to the point where you have that basic knowledge and fundamentals, then Kulo Asuk B'Talmud. You move totally to Talmud. And that's, again, this enhancement or the deepening of the knowledge. Tosafot seems to be pointing out a similar distinction in the process of learning of the individual, that there is a threshold by which this changes over. And the answer is, when Talmud is maybe the day Maaseh, better to do Talmud. When the Talmud no longer is needed for the Maaseh, then the Maaseh takes precedence because you already have the basic limud that leads you to Maaseh.
And now the Gemara continues and says, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gadol Talmud, Shekadam, L'chala, Arbaim, Shana. Learning is greater because it preceded the mitzvah of challah by 40 years. Because the mitzvah of challah only takes place bevoachem, when you enter the land of Israel. The Torah was given in the first year of their sojourn in the Midbar. So, Limud Torah came 40 years before the mitzvah of challah. L'chumat u'masrot, 50 bi'arbo. 54 years before Chumot u'masrot, because Chumot u'masrot only go into effect after kibush v'chiluk. 7 years of kibush, 7 years of chiluk, 14 years later, plus the 40 years of the Midbar, that's 54 years after they were received the Torah. The Shmitim, 61. 61 years was the first Shemitah after the Limud HaTorah, the giving of the Torah, because you only start counting the Shmitim once you have entered the land of Israel, done the kibush v'chiluk, that's 54 years. And after the 54 years, you begin to count the 7 year cycle of the Shemitah. So 7 years later is your first Shemitah. That's at year 61. L'Yovel, Me'avishalosh. And for Yovel, that's 103 years. Because again, you don't start counting until 14 years in. And then you have to count 50 years. So now you have 50 years, plus you have 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk is 64. Plus the 40 years in the Midbar, you have 104. Whoops, the Gemara just said 103. May have a shalosh, may have a avnyon. What do you mean 103 years? It's 104 years. Kasavar Yovel mitchilatohu mishamet. And Yovel actually is mishamet, causes everything to be returned in the beginning of the year. Not that that's a chiddush. That's said in the Torah. On Yom Kippur, you blow the shofar on the Yovel, and everybody goes free. So whether that means here, mitchila mishamet, means that this is the opinion that it happens on Rosh Hashanah, not on Yom Kippur. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, and therefore it happens after 103 years, because on the first day of the 104th year, it's done. You don't have to wait till Yom Kippur. Or whether this is based on the fact that we only start counting from the Luchot Shniot, which is that the Luchot Rishonot were given on in Sivan and Shavuot. On the other hand, the Luchot Shniot were given on Yom Kippur the following year. So they are 1 year short, and therefore, you only have 103 years, not a 104 years, because it's Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur. That's a little harder, because in all the other counts, they didn't do that. It might be by Yovel they did it, because of the significance of Yom Kippur to Yovel, and therefore that connection also to the blowing of the shofar of Cherut, that's connected to Har Sinai, maybe uniquely there, they counted from Yom Kippur, and that's why they said 103 years instead of 104 years. That's a little more of an agadic way to look at it, that's why they got to 103 instead of 104 years. Just like learning Torah takes precedence over the mitzvot, so too a person's judgment when they come up to Shemayim, the question they ask them about first is Limud HaTorah and not about the masim. The beginning of the din for an individual when he gets up to Shemayim is over his learning. Shnemar poter mayim reshit madon. The releasing of water is the beginning of the quarrel. And that when you let something out, that's what begins the problem. So if there's a little bit of friction, that already starts the whole quarrel. And so the same thing here says, Poter Mayim, someone who's Porek Ol Torah, someone who releases himself from the burden or the yoke of Torah, Reshit Madon, that'll be the first thing that they come to him to quarrel with him about, or to take him to task about, is the fact that he did not learn. And therefore, the question is, in the Gemara in Shabbat brings it down, which is,
Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time to learn Torah? Did you learn Torah is the first question? As Tosfot points out, that's not what the Gemara in Shabbat says. When Shabbat says there's one question before that, which is, Nasata v'natata be'emuna. Did you transact honestly? Did you conduct yourself honestly in business? Tosfot asked the question. What do you mean? Ein tchilat dino shel adam ela divrei Torah? On the Gemara in Shabbat and Lamed Aleph, that's not what it says. It's natata v'natata be'emuna. So I know davka le'inyan sheila shesholim lo. Says that's the question they asked him first. On Masav Matan, v'makom makom nifraymi menu tchilat shlo kavaitim l'Torah. They punish you first for the lack of limuda Torah. So the way Tosfot answers the question is saying that over there in Shabbat they're telling you the order of the questions. Over here they're telling you the order of the retribution for that which you did wrong. Others still say that nasata v'natata me'emuna is just an appetizer. Just a way to get to im kavata itim the Torah. Which let's clear out. Nasata v'natata be'emuna. You needed parnasa. You had to make a living. So now what? You have an excuse that you didn't learn? That's not enough. And therefore they go, nasata v'natata be'emuna. There's a question about how you conducted yourself in your business. And even if you have to do business, we still bring you the question of kavata itim the Torah right after that. So that's just a appetizer by saying, look, we know you had to work, but you still have to be koveitim the Torah. If you weren't koveitim the Torah, you're going to be held accountable for that. Just like the judgment comes first over koveitim the Torah, so too the reward comes first. He gave them the lands of the nations and the toil of those others they will inherit. Bavur. Why did they get all this? Yishmru chukav. Because they kept his precepts and they protected or they guarded his Torah. So limud Torah is what garners one those benefits. Kol she'eino lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah. Anybody who's not involved in these items, I'm Rav Yochanan u'pasul eidut. There are actually halachic ramifications to this individual. Not only are these people are not civilized, but they should not be allowed into a court session. They should not be trusted in a court session. And as we explained before in the Mishnah, that these people don't understand what is proper etiquette, what's proper behavior. They don't worry about people losing money, not losing money. They don't have those types of cares or understanding, and therefore their edut is suspect. Tarabanan, uchel b'shuk, or is it dome l'kelef? Someone who eats in the marketplace is like a dog. V'yeshomrim, pasul edut. And some say that he is pasul edut. That's the end of the Mishnah. That person's considered uncivilized. So this is another type of uncivilized behavior. Rashi says over here, Kevan she'enu min yishuv ein makpid al atzmo. Since he's not a part of civilization, he doesn't worry about himself. Ein lo boshet panim. He's not embarrassed. V'chein ochel b'shuk. That's similar to someone who eats in the shuk. Ho ve'ein makpid al kvodo. Since he doesn't worry about his own honor or his standing, ein lo boshet l'zazel b'atzmo li'pasel. He doesn't worry about lying, saying the wrong thing, or making up things. He doesn't have any reticence because he doesn't care. When you don't care, not caring has impact in many places. The fact that a person doesn't care about his kavod will also manifest itself in his not caring when he gives a dot, and we don't want those types of edim. Others describe, like you say over here, that it's much more significant. And that's what the Tosfot brings over here from their Beinu Chananel. Quotes Rashi, and it says, Perishu Beinu Chananel, Da'achim Ma'ishah Hu Teif V'cho Ochel. He grabs and he eats. So now, Hu Teif Ochel is an interesting term because it's actually a term that comes up in Yonah D'Yoma by the Afikoman. It says that, Hu Teifin Et HaMatzot. You grab the Matzot. So whether that means to steal, and that would be the description here of the Afikoman, is to steal or hide the Afikoman. So too over here, that Hu Teif Ochel means that he steals. He grabs and eats. Now, if he's a ganav, he's posel de edut, so there's nothing to talk about. So Tosfot says over here, yesh lomar, shechotei pachot mishave pruta. He grabs a little bite here, a little bite there, less than a shave pruta, which is not considered to be gneva. But nevertheless, his activity shows that he just doesn't care. That's one aspect Rabbeinu Chananel brings down. Then he says, Rabbeinu Rav Eliyahu mefaresh gon shalach itzla mochrim v'toeim mikshol kulam at mat. He does a tasting in each store along the way, and by the time he's finished, he's had a whole meal. So again, these are activities where inherently they're not considered to be stealing. They're not technically against the letter of the law, but they're clearly this individual is not acting properly or is an unrefined individual. So what Rashi describes as eating in the shuk as being unrefined behavior, here This is behavior which is not inherently against halacha, but its fact that it's so unrefined or unbecoming makes it that this person clearly does not care. So as Rashi says over here, that eating in public is not caring, these are activities or actions that clearly indicate that this person doesn't care about other people's property or doesn't care about his own kavod. And by those two items show us that this is not a person to be trusted or to be believed in the case of Idut. V'Rabbeinu Tam Perish, Dochel B'Shul Kanesh Ochel Suda Depat Dgna Yoter. Rabbeinu Tam says it's not like taking a snack. That's okay, people take a little food on the run. But that's like being Koveya Suda while you're in the Shuk or walking around. So again, that's much more unrefined or unbecoming behavior. So Rabbeinu Tam just sets the threshold higher for what is unbecoming or unrefined behavior. It's not simply a little bit here, a little bit there. I mean, someone who really acts in a manner that's clearly unrefined and unbecoming, and that's what we're speaking about here. So you see here are four different definitions of what the problem is, but they all revolve around the same pivotal issue, which is, this is someone who's not chash al kvodo, so someone's not considerate of his standing, his status, as well as what other people think or taking from other people. And so all of those would possibly be considered problematic enough to be posel him from Eidut. Amar Ravidi Baravin, Aloha Ki Yeshomim, and here we have the Aloha is Paskin like these Yeshomim, that you are posel the Eidut. Darish Bar Kapavra, Ragzan, Lo Altabi Yadola Ragzan Uto. Person who gets angry, all he's left with in the end is his anger. He gets no benefit from that anger, except his anger. Because Adam Tov, Matimo Tov, Mi Pri Ma'asav, person who is good, they give him to eat from his good actions. Someone who doesn't have any of these items, Dor Hana'a Mimenu. Then, as Rashi says, Nadur. Take a nether Hana'a from him, you should not interact with that individual, because that individual clearly doesn't have a sense of right and wrong, or doesn't have a sense of proper etiquette and behavior. And therefore, Shenemar Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav, he did not sit amongst those that were lazy or clowns, those that ridicule. Yashav Moshavo Moshav Leitzim, indicating that if he did sit down with them, then they are Moshav Leitzim, which is Rashi says, Zeh Sheinu Echad Me'elu Bameh Yitasek. Person doesn't have Lo Mikra, Lo Mishnah, Lo Derech Eretz, then what is he left to do? And therefore, if he doesn't do any of these items, the only thing left for him to do is leitzanut, which is being a clown, but it's more than simply being a clown. It's someone who ridicules things, a wise guy of sorts. These are people that don't conduct themselves properly because they have nothing else to do. And therefore, the time they spend is taking down and breaking things down and making fun of things. And that's the moshav leitzim, meaning that those are the people that when they do sit, that's the only activity that they can be engaged in. So therefore, these are people you do not want to be involved with, and you should take a nether anah from those people. So he gives three pieces of advice. One is that there's no benefit in anger. Therefore, one should control his anger, because the only thing left with in the end with the anger is the anger itself, and you have to live with the repercussions of that anger, and you get no benefit on the other side. So you should control one's anger. That's what the Gerat Ramban speaks about, that all evil, all bad that comes to a person comes from the fact that they get angry. They lose control, and the Gemara in Shabbat speaks about it. Skilo Vedo Barazara. Again, that anger is a precipitator of all these bad or this evil, and you're left with nothing afterwards, so there's no value in it. And then, again, a person who does good, then he eats from his masim, meaning the benefit that he gets is not only the principle, but he also gets the benefits or the derivatives of that goodness in this world. And you should not associate with people who do not have a sense of right or wrong, because when they have nothing to do, they only end up doing bad. And that's not what you want to be involved with. That's not the type of people you want to interact with. Okay, and with that, we end first parak of Masechet Kiddushin, Hadron Halach, Aisha Niknet.